Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody.
Guess I need to get in front of the microphone.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I am your host for this program. Man, I have a lot of things on my mind today. A lot of things on my mind. But it is, at this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family and allowing and welcoming God's view to govern, guard, and to guide your view and your engagement. As usual, I am joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, and in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, the real J Mac is in the building. And our friendly neighborhood Willaholic will be joining us momentarily as I intend to open the phone lines again. I want to try to get to those people who were holding yesterday who we weren't able to get to. But there are a lot of things happening. You know, you have this autopsy report released by the DNC concerning the 2024 election. And again, not released. They were trying to keep the stuff private. But it's just... I don't understand how people could be surprised by that kind of stuff anymore. Some are saying, oh, it was a waste of money. They didn't cover the things. Yeah, of course not. They didn't mention anything about Joe Biden and his declining mental capacity. They didn't mention that there's never really a real campaign, none of that kind of stuff. And it's just the political rules. They're not interested in trying to articulate what went bad on electoral scape. They are only interested in naked power grabs, which is why they're all about process and constitutionality when they're in power. And then when they lose, it's all about court packing. And let's change the law to lower the age for Supreme Court justices in the state to 54. It's just absurd. And frankly, I'm tired of it, because these things, guys, are not the root of the problem. They're fruit issues. Well, you can have a Katie Turr to be on national television. Her job is to be informed. That is her job. How can you inform if you are uninformed? How? Like, you have paid staff. I mean, they spend millions of dollars. You know, we don't, you know who does the research in the Hamilton Corner? Me. I don't have a staff. And I check things and verify things, but she can come on national television and say, oh, is the Speaker Johnson putting himself over the Declaration of Independence? And they all nod and wink and go along as if that's a reason. No, that is an entirely unreasonable assertion. And it shows a complete lack of awareness of our national founding documents. Then you have a so-called religion correspondent on to say, well, this is not a wholly unusual opinion. You think? Sherlock, you think? And it's indicative of the broader problem. Guys, our problem, the book of Judges dictates our problem. We have turned away from the Lord. And so it is not until we grasp that reality, and until that becomes a mainstream conversation, we're going to continue trimming around the hedges and not getting to the root of the main issue in our nation. I talked a couple weeks ago about the marriage rates for people by the age of 30, how from 1975, 91% of American women married by age 30, 81%. Of American men by 2025, in 50 years, guys, 50 years, that rate has plummeted to 16.5% among men and 26.4% for women. And we can talk about the myriad contributions, you know, feminism, no-fault divorce, sexual deviancy, abortion, the severance of God's design for marriage and physical intimacy to being exclusively a pursuit of pleasure, not understanding that it's supposed to be a binding agent between husband and wife and the fulcrum for building a family for the multi-generational purposes for which God established you. All of those are factors that contribute. But you know what the bottom line is? That we no longer understand the biblical articulation of God's design for his institution. So we have conversations about compatibility and what do you bring to the table and what do you bring to the table? And they're not conversations about building family, about building legacy. There's no conversation about rearing children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There are no conversations about husbands and wives being joined together in holy matrimony, cleaving to one another in physical conjugal union and spiritual continual oneness between husbands and wife. We don't have those conversations. Because we've been degraded over time to such a place. To where we're as a society. I looked at that Katie Turr moment, very similar to what happened in 2 Kings when Josiah is the king and they're in this thing, you know, they don't use it the way it was born, created to be used, you know, thing called the temple, you know, and they're doing kind of a capital reconstruction program for historical purposes. And in the process, they find this thing called the Book of the Law. And they're like, what is this? In the very nation where God required kings to have their own hand-copied version of the Mosaic Law, they degraded to the place to where the king didn't even know the thing existed. And now we have a nation who declared our foundational independence by saying we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And we've now gotten to the place, what is this passage from the speaker? Do y'all see what I'm saying? And I know in some ways I might be like a lone reed swaying in the wilderness, but I believe I have an obligation to proclaim the truth as best as I can. To the Word of God we go. John chapter 17. Verses 13 through 17 is where we're going to begin the program today. John chapter 17. Verses 13 through 17. This is a part of the upper room discourse. And Jesus is speaking, and this is widely described as the high priestly prayer. Jesus says this, but I now come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And this portion of Jesus' high priestly prayer, he underscores the reality of the spirit of the age's abject hatred for him because he's entirely other from the world systems. And because of who he is and what he has ordained and entrusted his disciples to be, that it shouldn't be a strange thing when worldly ideation dominates, that there is an increasing, metastasizing, and punctuated malevolence displayed toward Christ's following. This is not to foment some type of victim mindset and a self-loathing disposition, kind of like a faux martyr complex, but to allow the disciple to have a sober estimation of who we are, when we are, and where we are. Because while Jesus made that observation, he immediately turns around and says, but I'm not asking for my disciples to be removed from the world. No. No, because there is a work that I have entrusted to them. And I'll never forget hearing Brother Don. I never had the privilege of working with him, but I heard audio and watched videos and things of him saying one of the great scandals of Jesus's work is that he would entrust his commission to regular people like you and me. Oh, man, I'll never forget that because it's such a true statement. And the reality is that we are not entrusted with God's commission because of our intrinsic skills or ability. No. In fact, we are commissioned in his authority. And that the empowering measure for our execution is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. I'm sharing this so that we can enjoy a sober reminder together concerning what Jesus said, so that we wouldn't be surprised. In our nation, we have experienced something that has been a bit of an aberration in the history of the Lord's church, in that we have been able to grow and to press forward and to evangelize and to function largely within an environment of freedom, which is why, and Pastor Bert Harper points this out all the time, this is why evangelism has flourished historically so much from our nation. You know, it is an objective fact that our nation has dispatched the largest quantity of missionaries into the world in human history. And while that is true, at the exact same time, we have embraced a domestic ideology that has slowly but surely over time turned our nation towards a godless direction. The reality is that there are overwhelming Christian notions and ideals. Much of the things we discussed, the concept of justice, liberty, equal justice under the law, individual freedom, all of these things, guys, all of these things flow from a biblical worldview. That's why we haven't seen them in any other nations as foundationally and as protected as they have been in our nation, because that has been laid at the foundation of our country because of the biblical worldview that it anchored the founding of our country. It is the inevitable, inescapable truth that our nation was founded consistent with the ideals that flowed from the Protestant Reformation that served as an anchor for Western civilization. That's just the truth. But over time, what has happened? You've heard me say this before, darkness is not an affirmative force, but it reoccupies the space vacated by the light. Largely, we have not reconciled the notion that cultivation of the mind is central to discipleship. So what has happened by and large in our nation, we have outsourced mind cultivation to the realm and the discipline of people who are hostile to God and the revelation of himself through his holy word. And so we now have had a society that is seeking to uproot some of the foundational notions. Like for example, did you ever imagine you would have an organization called Citizens United for the Separation of Church and State, you know, in the founding era? You know? Of course not. Did you ever envision that there would be people who would try to pervert our First Amendment to support things like Satanism in government spaces? Of course not. But what has happened is that a fly has gotten into the ointment, and the fly left uncorrected has metastasized. So in order for us to enjoy the type of correction that has to happen, it cannot merely be a humanistic correction. It has to be the product of an awakening. And that, my friends, is why we need the Lord to help us. But the record shows God is still in the business of opening blind eyes.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Prayerlessness. What exactly is prayerlessness? Well, that's the failure to really pray as we should. When we don't pray, we can miss things God is saying to us and God is doing in and around us. When we don't pray, we miss blessings God very much wants us to have. It's a challenging area of life for probably many, if not most, believers, the failure to pray. You know, the Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, pray without ceasing. Well, how in the world do we really do that? Well, keep in mind, God wouldn't tell us to do something we could not do. God tells us time and time again to do things that we can only do in His wisdom, in His power, and in His grace. Now, I want to say and challenge every listener to really think about this. It's important that we live a life full of prayer.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Coming up soon, just in a couple weeks, June 4th through the 6th, we will be in Richmond, Virginia at the HEAV Convention. That is the Home Educators Association of Virginia. It'll be 3 days of power-packed presentations. I'm honored to be able to participate in that convention. Again, this will be my second time there. If you're in the Virginia area and able to come out, or if you want to travel to Richmond, you are welcome to do so. You simply have to go to heav.org to register. Then the very next week, June 11th through the 13th, we will be in Pennsylvania at the Christian Homeschool Association of Pennsylvania's 2026 convention, which will be hosted at Elizabethtown College. You simply need to go to CHAP Online, CHAPOnline.com, to register for that one. We are looking forward to both of them. We will also broadcast live from both Virginia and Pennsylvania as these conventions are underway. All right. I have two stories I want to present to you, and I'm quite a bit heavy-hearted about the second one, and I'm going to have to offer a disclaimer for the second one, but I want you to consider both of these stories, and I want to relate them to when we open the phone lines, because I want to continue the conversation about discipling our children in the home. If you're willing to join us for that conversation to see if, you know, this is something you've been wanting to do, but there have been some hesitations for some reasons or some impediments. If you're willing to have a conversation about that, I'd love to have that conversation with you to see what you may be facing at home as you consider the things that we discuss here in the program and that you discover on your own lives and your own time. And then I also want to have a conversation about your perception as to the country's direction. Do you feel good about it? Are you concerned about it? Do you feel like we are positioned well for what life in the United States will be once President Trump is no longer in office? What are your thoughts? What are you thinking? And I'll give the number again, 888-589-8840 is the number. We're going to open the phone lines in a third segment. That number again is 888-589-8840. Now, to begin the show, I want to start with a lawsuit that was filed just yesterday against the United States Department of Agriculture as an entity and the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. All right. There was the National Federation of Federal Employees and seven United States Department of Agriculture workers joined to file this lawsuit. All right. Give you a brief report on it, and then I'll dig into some of the claims. And I want you to go with me as we evaluate the claims that these people found to be objectionable to such a degree to where they filed a federal lawsuit in the Northern District of California against Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins and the United States Department of Agriculture. Listen to and watch clip number 8. It's about 26 seconds. Clip number 8. Go.
Employees at the Department of Agriculture are suing Secretary Brooke Rollins over a series of emails they say crossed the line and violated the First Amendment. The lawsuit comes in response to an Easter message the Agriculture Secretary sent out to employees in April. The plaintiffs say the message sought to impose her brand of Christianity on the agency's employees. The lawsuit seeks to stop Rollins from further religious messaging.
Yeah. So Brooke Rollins, who is a Christian, sent out a message celebrating the resurrection of the Lord, which last I checked, it's a federal holiday, ain't it? Right, Bobby? And federal workers get to take off for this federal holiday. Am I right about it? Huh. I wonder if any of these suing persons went to work. I'm just thinking out loud. I wonder if they went to work they didn't go to work on a federal holiday.
No, on a Sunday.
Yeah. But the federal holiday usually gives time off beyond the Sunday. I wonder if they were so committed to the separation of church and state that they decided, you know what? While others in the world who may be Christians are taking time off, I am going to stand because I don't want my state work to be encroached upon by this impenetrable wall of separation. I want, you know. This is one of those moments where you laugh to keep from crying, man. So the objectionable emails, they said were the problem. And also they had attached a video message that Brooke Rollins shared with her staff at the USDA. And according to the complaint, the lawsuit was filed because Secretary Rollins, quote, has engaged in an escalating pattern of subjecting all USDA employees to proselytizing Christian messaging promulgated from her position of authority, end quote. This is what they're saying. They continue on in their complaint to say, quote, she has adopted a practice of sending increasingly proselytizing communications to the entire USDA workforce, promoting her own preferred brand of Christian beliefs and theology to the captive audience of employees that report to her directly or indirectly. The USDA has roughly about 90,000 total employees, and these plaintiffs are alleging that she is evangelizing from her position because this pattern that they identified, this escalating pattern. If it's a pattern, can you show me what the pattern is? Let alone leaving aside whether or not it is objectionable and illegal or not. Let's just see if we can identify the pattern. The pattern they found was that she tends to send these messages referring to God on the 4th of July, Resurrection Sunday, and Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, also, and Christmas. You see, on Christmas, on December 23rd, 2025, she sent a message, according to this lawsuit, that, quote, dramatically escalated her religious sermonizing in a Christmas message. As Secretary Rollins said, quote, the spirit of generosity flows from the very first Christmas where God gave us the greatest gift possible, the gift of his son and our Savior Jesus Christ, who came to free us from our sins and open the door to eternal life. Then the one that hit him between the eyes that caused him to have the Popeye problem where it could stand no more is when Brooke Rollins, Secretary Rollins, had the audacity to say in her email of April 5th, 2026, which they called it was an Easter sermon via email. And this was the sermon. Here's the whole sermon, guys. Y'all ready for it? Quote, he is risen indeed. Our risen Lord and the resurrection is the greatest story ever told, the foundation of our faith and the abiding hope for all mankind. From the foot of the cross on Good Friday to the stone rolled away from the now empty tomb, sin has been destroyed. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and God has granted each of us victory and new life. And where there is life, risen life, there is hope, end quote. That's the sermon, folks. So let's see if we can establish this pattern, you see, of escalating sermonizing. So you tell me the 4th of July, referencing God too much, you're telling me resurrection, you're telling me Thanksgiving, and you're telling me Christmas. Yeah. So I already mentioned one thing. One thing that these days seem to have in common with the federal government is you have federal holidays connected to them. To which, again, I said, I wonder if we pulled their timesheet, so to speak. Did any of these people go to work on the day that the federal holiday was? No, you don't think? Then the other thing is, and I can pull up addresses from presidents for each of these occasions. That alone is not evidence of what is and what is not problematic. But are we going to tangle with the fact that our Supreme Court has recognized that atheism is itself a religion? And if you prohibit any religious expression, are you elevating the religion of atheism in the government workplace? Gonna have that conversation. The point that I'm making with all of this, guys, and you're gonna see this more fully when I pair this with the next story, and I don't even know if I can call it a story because it's not a whole lot of information covering this. But these people are in honey bunches of oats over emails that seem pretty clearly to be seasonal and holiday related emails. And if you got a problem with God being mentioned on the 4th of July, then it's probably because you're from the Katie Tur wing of the United States of America, and you probably haven't read, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are endowed by their certain unalienable rights. Guys, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, but it is indicative of the increasing hostility that is being displayed more and more overtly in our own country against Christianity. When that type of increasing hostility continues, it leads in a particular direction. Now come go with me. If you know you've been listening to the show for a while, you know I've been covering the genocide that's taking place right now in Nigeria. I played the pastor from Nigeria who spoke during the Unite the Kingdom rally in England, because he was one of those who the Islamic terrorists attempted to kidnap him from his own home. But the lying media will often say, nah, that's not happening. Well, there was a man who was a teacher at the community high school in Oyo State in Nigeria. His name is Mr. Michael Oyedikan. Now, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to play a clip that is a video clip. It is a video clip that Mr. Oyedikan's Islamic terrorist kidnappers forced him to record before they murdered him on video. I want to warn you, because the video has some blurring in the video, but it is still very gruesome. Very gruesome. And I am not a person who enjoys gruesomeness for the sake of it, shock for the sake of shock. But I think we need a wake-up call to see the true face of this evil and to show you that what begins in the place that says everybody can come out of the closet and be public except Christians, there's a particular ending for that. It goes in one direction. And unless there is a vigilant people to hold the hounds of hell at bay, Again, wherever the light vacates, darkness reoccupies. I want to warn you, and I'm doing this to give you time, because if you're a young person, you're a child, please step away from the screen right now. Step away from the radio. Tell your parents, Mr. Abe said that I needed to let you guys know he's about to share something that is particularly striking. And you can't unsee once you've seen this. And as you see what I'm about to show you, I want you to pair that with the story I just covered to where Brooke Rollins is being sued for emails because of her faith. But in Nigeria, right now as we're speaking, Christians are having their throats cut and being beheaded because of their faith. This is an 18-second video. 16 seconds. It's clip number 5. Clip 5. Go.
Oyedoko. M.O. is my name. I'm a teacher at the community high school. Our West Delhi.
Now, if you are familiar with these terrorist tactics, when I saw this, I immediately thought about the 21 Coptic Christians some years ago when ISIS was ascending. And they forced the men in orange jumpsuits down to their knees and spilled their blood on the beach. We and our country, man, we need to wake up. A lot of people like to crack jokes, and including myself, I like to have a good time. I'm not trying to put myself as if I'm above all of this. But it's all fun and games until blood really starts being spilled. And the thing is, guys, that it has been happening in our country. Family Research Council President Tony Perkins was just at Capitol Hill testifying about how the dude used the SPLC hate map to roll up on FRC's headquarters with Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches in his backpack because he intended to kill everybody and put a Chick-fil-A sandwich on the dead bodies. Thankfully, the security guard stopped him, but that's just one example. We have to wake up, guys, because we cannot continue being hospitable to evil.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net. Charitable gift annuities, bequests, trusts, and wills. A lot of people don't understand what they do, especially how they can make it possible for you to help AFA fulfill the Great Commission well into the future. Of course, that's a nutshell view. AFA Foundation can bring you up to speed on what each one does, how they support AFA, and they can even help you set everything up with no hassle or unpleasant surprises. Lock in your legacy today when you visit afafoundation.net.
The desecration of man. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. In his new book by that title, Professor Carl Truman writes, "Modern society glories in transgression, and transgression is exhilarating. This is why abortion, sexual perversion, and transgenderism are celebrated, because it is an attempt to usurp God and make man his own God. Notice how Satan tempted Eve with eating the forbidden fruit. You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." Rebellion against God never leads to elevation, though, but desecration. Hear a most recent program on how the rejection of God degrades our humanity with guest Carl Truman at thechristianworldview.org, and then join us this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. If you're unfamiliar with the objective behind doing things like these terrorists have done and then recording it and disseminating it, this is a part of the tactic to try to demoralize the area where they're functioning and try to make themselves seem to be an inevitable force. It is no secret, and why the liars in our country refuse to report it is probably because they're liars, many of them, not everyone, but there are some outlets, but it's a minority of outlets who report it. You know, you have Christian outlets like this network and, you know, conservative outlets have talked about it, but you have lots of people who don't even know this is happening. But it's no secret that Boko Haram has stated that they're seeking to establish a caliphate with Nigeria at the center of it. They're attempting to pursue the establishment, to repeat what was established with the Ottoman Caliphate, which is why, you know, you can crack jokes, but you have Cenk Uygur, who has his, like, internet network, and it's called the Young Turks. It's a reference to the Ottoman Turks. And then prior to ISIS's ascension, when Barack Hussein Obama called them the JV team, and then the next thing you know, they're establishing a caliphate with Syria at the helm. It's an effort to repeat the same phenomenon. One of the first things I thought about is, why isn't there outrage surrounding this? Remember, following October 7th, how almost immediately, almost as if it was organized, how many universities in our country had all of these protests not supporting the Jewish people who just faced the largest one-day slaughter they'd suffered since the Holocaust, but supporting Hamas. Do you ever recall seeing any protests on any American campuses concerning the genocide of Christians in Nigeria? And the next question I want to now ask is, do you think that's a coincidence? I don't think it's a coincidence. Now, because of scriptures like I read before, while it is jolting to witness and experience this, I'm not surprised by it. I'm going to ask you to do what I've asked in the past, to join me in praying for the saints of God in Nigeria who are facing persecution. And the reality is, this is not my opinion, the objective reality, that the most persecuted religion in the world today is Christians. Because our country has kind of succumbed to this siren song of this Marxist programming of oppressor and oppressed dynamics, we don't want to come to grips with the fact that though Christianity is the largest religion in the world, it is also the most persecuted. Brooke Rollins is being sued in America for her faith. Michael Oyedekon faced a machete for his. I'm going to open the phone lines. And I know this is a weighty conversation that we're having now. One of the major things I wanted to communicate is the reality that there are evil, first of all, that there is evil in this world, and there are evil forces at work in this world. Don't you for 1 minute think, contrary to what was old boy's name again, Bobby, who was talking to Katie Turr, McKay Copins or whatever, when he said the thing you really need to be aware of, you know, you shouldn't be concerned about a benign reference to mankind having rights from God. What you need to be aware of is when there's an injection of a reference to spiritual warfare. And they include concepts of partisan politics in that. Remember the conversation we had earlier this week about willful ignorance? Yeah, yeah. Two things I want to welcome you to discuss if you're open to it. Consider this, the state of things in our own nation, the state of affairs in the world. What, if anything, has hindered you in making the step in discipling your children from the home, including their education and cultivation of the mind? The second thing I want to invite you to weigh in on is how do you feel about the direction that our nation is trending in at the moment? Are we heading in the right direction? Are you comfortable with it? Are you uncomfortable with where we are? Also, do you feel that we are positioned properly for life after President Trump is no longer in office, or are some things that need to be adjusted in that regard? The phone number to call is 888-589-8840. That number is 888-589-8840. As the callers are making their way in, I found this also to be interesting. That thanks to Nick Shirley and his willingness to shine the light on the fraud happening in Minnesota with the quality leering centers. Just as, you know, the principle of, you know, the feeding our future scheme in Minnesota was just sentenced to about nearly 4 years in prison, just shy of 4 years, 41 and a half months in prison in order to pay $240 million in restitution. Because she was the principal person involved in bilking federal programs in Minnesota in upwards of $250 million, because she served as the point person for these programs to feed children and adults in Minnesota, in which what they would do, the scheme, it's a simple scheme, but it's a scheme nonetheless, is that she's the point person. All these other organizations would say, hey, yeah, we fed, you know, 500 people, and sometimes they haven't fed anybody. And then the Feeding Our Futures program, what's her name? Amy Bach. Amy Bach would then bill the federal government.
45 years today.
Well, 41 and a half years, 41.5. Okay. Months, not years. Wait, let me make sure I got it right. Mm. Yeah, 41.5 years. I'm sorry, 41.5 years. She was sentenced today after a trial. You know, after a trial, when Nick Shirley shined the light on all of this stuff, did you remember how all of these talking snake media outlets tried to say, ah, there's no fraud going on in Minnesota. This is all, y'all know what the favorite R word is. You know what it is. This is racist. So all of that, tried, found guilty, 41 and a half years in prison, $240 million in restitution. While that's happening, the principal at the Quality Learning Center was just indicted with another set of charges having to do with the fraud she perpetrated with the daycare centers. All of this is being brought to the fore. Before I go on with that, we'll turn to the phone lines to where Madeline is on the phone from Louisiana. Is she ready? Madeline from Louisiana. Thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
It's very difficult time.
Yes.
For anybody and everybody who claims a higher power that revolves and is foundational in biblical study, mm-hmm. as well as recovery programs.
Yes.
Very hard for me to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
You said the word injection.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was triggered when you said the word injection 9 times in the past 5 years because I had a his story of mental health versus mental illness 9 times in the past 5 years in St. Tammany Parish, a Catholic state of affairs. I was held against my will, plus 3 times, every time at least 2 weeks, and I was forcibly injected and intimidated by doctor's orders being above the law here in Louisiana. It's very unfortunate that I've pretty much been denied access to voting. And I was triggered again today just listening to the radio when an official from the governor's estate said, go vote. I was irate and enraged because I was a regular voter. I had never missed a vote. I had never missed a vote, even on the smallest matters. Being held against my will twice for over 5 months.
Madeline, I'm sorry you had that what seems to be, you know, a horrible experience. And we have people who can help provide connection to various resources and things, but that seems to be something a little bit different from what we've been discussing on the show today. But I pray, and I don't know whether or not you've been able to vote in this cycle of elections in Louisiana or not, but that's something that we probably need to try to address off of the air. Let's go now to Virginia, where Tim is on the line. Tim, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Hepner, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. You'll be coming to our area again, Richmond. So I'm going to hope to come there and check you out.
I'd love to see you there.
Yes, sir. But anyway, I just like to make a statement about the affairs of the country.
Mm-hmm.
We have to believe we already know what's to come. And for me, I'm secure in that, and I know what's to come because what the Word of God say.
Mm-hmm.
But the work is doing the will of the Father, getting truth out, and making sure that we understand our salvation. Now, I talk to a lot of believers. I've been vandalizing believers, man, because after I talk to them, I realize they don't. Salvation is not in their grasp. They don't understand the full salvational walk of the Word of God. So that's a scary thing, and it goes back to what you've been sharing about you and other people been sharing about ministers preparing the people for what's to come, really preparing them for what's to come, and that's not happening. And I will just say this. It's not happening at my church, like talking about it. It's happening, but it's walking on soft sticks. And then I'm going to finish up with this. I believe that, you know, the President Trump was a good, you know, his momentum, his best momentum was failed when he got jacked up on the last connection. I mean, I believe if he had the second turn, his momentum would be a little bit more smooth. I just believe that. But still, he's doing things now. I believe it. Honestly, I like what he's doing. You know, I'm not a Republican. I'm a follower of Christ. I believe it's time for him to, you know, to move on and let someone else get in his seat. And because of something, his character,
we got to stop it right there, Tim, only because we got some other people that want to jump in. But thank you so much for your calls and your commentary. We'll go next to Tennessee, where Mary is on the line. Then we'll try to get to Texas right after Mary. Mary, go right ahead. You got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I had reached out to my library today to find out about homeschooling in my area, but I was told that they couldn't find any resources when they Googled it online, so I didn't know what you recommend on that one.
Oh, one-stop shop, easy. Go to hslda.org. You can get all of the information you need concerning what is legal and is not legal in the state of Tennessee, and you can be connected right there to an attorney who can advise you step-by-step as to what you need to do in the great state of Tennessee. Mary, thank you so much for your call and your question. We'll go next to Deborah. This will be our last call today. Deborah in the great state of Texas, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Abraham, prayer, prayer, prayer. No matter what somebody thinks about a party or a candidate, God is our creator. We are the creation. We as Christians have to remember that and minister to those who are not. And thank you for praying for the Christians in Nigeria. And I pray all across the world every night. I anoint my forehead with oil, and I pray for family, friends, and those I don't even know. Prayer, prayer. Don't let this world upset you. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
All right, Deborah, thank you so much for your call and your comments. I want to reiterate for the state of Tennessee and, frankly, all of your states. It's one of the reasons why I support HSLDA, because they've done the hard work of laying out what the legal requirements are in each state to homeschool. In the state of Tennessee, you have several options. Most homeschoolers in Tennessee use one particular option, but you can get all of that information by going to hslda.org. That is hslda.org. Never fear, even when your own local library won't help you, you can listen to the Hamilton Corner, because we're going to try to help you get to where you got to get. You all have a wonderful evening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.